One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan. So glad to have a live audience tonight. Yeah! Out here at Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness, and Chicago Firefighters Local 2. And what a show we got tonight. By the way, this is show 157, I think, if I can read that correctly. 137. Okay, jump a couple of months there. Got a great guest tonight. Our old pal, Matt Walsh, currently chief of police for the village of Tinley Park. After 28 years with the Cook County Sheriff's Police, Matt was on the show just last December. It wasn't just last December, but he's got more to tell us. Welcome back to the show. He comes from a great family, old friends. His brother, Kevin, went to Mount Carmel with my sons. We're fellow Mount Carmel alumnus. His brother, Mike, is here from the Chicago Fire Department. Where the heck is Mike? There he is. And his daughter, Megan, is here. So just a great crowd. We've got Fran McCarthy is here. We got everybody's here. Alamo Lynch is here. So what's going on?
Well, Mike,
chief. Is that what everybody calls you, chief? No? Look at, he says that with...
Not everyone.
No.
No, thanks for having me back. But before we begin, I want to send my condolences to Cy O'Donnell's family.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing Cy. His open. Yeah, I loved Cy.
I worked with his sons, Tim and Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Great guys, great policemen.
Yeah.
Cy was a great guy. He was with the
terrific
Pipes
guy.
And Drums.
Yeah.
He was with Chicago, then he was with Cook County. That's where I know him.
I met Cy in 1985. I was just back from New York, 12 years of on the hustle in New York City, and I somehow talked my way into being the director of special events for the State of Illinois building, and I used to do this big Irish event every year, Illinois Salutes the Irish. I'd have Eddie Burke playing the piano and Phil Rock singing, and I'd see Cy every year because he'd have the Emerald Society. We became good friends. Just a terrific guy.
Great guy, and he's in one of those famous photos from the 68 convention. It's a great picture.
Yeah.
All I'll say about
I'll bet
that.
He was cracking some heads.
But I also want to express condolences for Pete Woods. I don't know if you know Pete. He was a lieutenant
didn't.
With the city. Then he worked with the county. That's where I know him. He's the chief of courts for Maywood.
Ah.
I went to the academy with his daughter, Jan. Pete was a great guy as well. So
God rest his soul.
Just wanted to express my condolences for them. But last time we talked about a lot of funny stuff. Today I want to talk about the Police Reform Act and the impact.
The Police Reform Act.
Yeah. And the effect it's going to have on policing coming in the future.
And this is in the Illinois legislature now?
No, it passed. But fortunately, we've been working on some amendments. I know that a lot of politicians are taking heat for not doing anything. But I have to tell you that Fran Hurley has been working with us on the Reform Act, putting us in contact with the people that wrote the bill, and we've been able to get some changes. There was a lot of ambiguity as it spoke to a use of force. We're trying to clear that up.
You were just showing me some of the diagrams. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
And this was written and passed in the middle of the night without discussion.
Yeah.
They tell me it's what the community wanted. And I said,
that's bunk.
What community?
Yeah.
Who wants lawlessness? Who wants random beatings and shootings? Who wants total lack of community accountability?
Right.
I work in those neighborhoods. I worked in Fort Heights, and there's many people that are God-fearing, church-going people that they don't want this. I can guarantee you that.
Sure.
So it's a terrible thing, and hopefully we can get some amendments to it.
Is that where it's at, what stage it's in now, amendments?
There's certain things that have passed, and I'll cover that will go into effect. The main one that will come up in a month on October 1st is the qualified immunity. Everybody said it was taken out of the bill. It's not. It
was What's qualified immunity?
Qualified immunity is what allows us to be the police.
Oh, good.
Well, the best way I can describe it is, you remember when in Chicago, when the SWAT team, for lack of a better term, hit the house and a lady was naked and they had to take her into custody?
Vaguely,
and
yeah.
And it was the wrong house.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say I'm on the entry team. You and I are on the entry team. It's not our warrant. We don't know anything about it, but we have to believe that it's acting good faith, that it's the right address, everything. All the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. You go, you hit the place, you take everybody, you know, you have to secure them,
right.
Secure the scene, so then the team that did the search warrant can do their search. That's what the job is. Well, now you go in with good intentions and in good
Just
faith.
Just doing your job.
Turns out to be the wrong house. If qualified immunity is removed, now we can all be sued and lose our homes for doing what we're there. I would immediately remove myself from that team. And I don't think I would do a lot of work after that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't blame anybody if they did. It was not removed from the bill. It's still in committee. The recommendations go to the governor on October 1st.
Governor Fat Ass?
Yeah, well, that's who it's going to. It's going to our governor. And like I said, it
the worst piece of crap that ever walked the face of the earth. I'm sorry.
No, well, the misconception, too, is that we can't be sued.
Yeah.
We can just go out there and do what we want. And that's not true. If you act willfully and wantonly or with reckless conduct, you can be sued. Look at Jason Van Dyke. He's in jail for the shooting and others. We are held accountable. Qualified immunity is just when you're acting in good faith and something like the wrong address happens, you're covered. You weren't doing anything wrong. Now, if you're not covered, we're going to have...
It's part of a bit much larger get rid of the cops campaign. That's what this is all about.
I have many officers coming up to me. The senior officers say, just so you know, if this passes, I'm retiring.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen throughout. I think
they're leaving in droves now.
I think you
had 12 cops leave River Forest a couple weeks ago. Just all resigned at once.
It's almost your whole force, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I think when you had John, is it Cantazera? I don't know if I say his name right.
Yeah, John, he's been on the show.
He said how many people on his show, I was here, that up to 2,000 could leave or 2,500. And if this comes to be, they may.
Oh, yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
They're talking about these body-worn cameras. Everyone has to have them. They're unfunded mandates. Not a problem. I had them with the county. They do help you because ACLU wanted to get rid of them because it was proving that we weren't out
the
there
cops were
doing
right.
wrong.
Yeah.
However, now they're saying if you get in a major incident, you can't review the body camera before you write your report.
Oh.
So they amended it to say you can do it for certain things, but the serious offenses, you still can't review it. Personally, if I'm writing a report, I'd say see video.
Yeah.
And that's it. I wouldn't answer anything else.
What's the point? See the video. Yeah.
Most times I can't remember what I had for lunch, and you're going to expect me to remember what happened in a traumatic incident.
Yeah.
You're not going to recall. So that's some of the really bad things
What's
that are going on.
What's this bill number? What's it called again?
It was House Bill 3653. Then it was like Senate Bill 123 or something. But it's known as the Police Reform Act. So if you Google Police Reform Act in Illinois,
Police Reform
it'll come
Act.
Up.
Act. Yeah.
It's about 700-some pages. It's ridiculous. But because of this, we're having a hard time, police departments, not too many
recruiting,
departments.
For one thing,
We're having a hard time recruiting officers. I was driving down Pulaski today. There were several billboards for CPD in Alsip recruiting police. You didn't see it like that before.
Yeah.
There's departments. Aurora was offering 20 or 30,000 signing bonus to come over there. Oh, yeah. Like pro athletes. There's retention bonuses. I just seen departments are giving people bonuses for staying.
Yeah.
Right before, we just hired an officer from Chicago.
From CPD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He told me he was going on vacation with his wife. They recently married. And when he was coming back, he was going to resign.
Oh.
And then Tinley Park called.
Oh.
And now we got him. And he's really good officer.
Yeah.
Tinley Park's not experiencing these problems. We have a extremely very pro-police board of trustees.
Good.
Mayor Glatz continually tells us that he will get whatever is needed to keep the village safe. And a place where people want to come and raise their family. So we have the support there. We've had several officers that transferred or came from other departments after taking the test, and that's the reason they chose Tinley Park.
Yeah.
We're currently going through some laterals. We got some backgrounds going. A lot of them are
from. What do you mean laterals?
They're coming from other departments.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have that before.
No.
But problem I had with COVID, we can't get people in the academy. So we've changed some of the civil service.
Well, if you want to be a Tinley Park cop, what academy do you go to?
We'll go to whatever is open.
Oh, okay.
But because COVID, you couldn't get anybody in them. There's a 200-person waiting list on most of them.
No kidding.
So we went with laterals, and we've been having great success. We're going to keep going with laterals. We're getting seasoned officers
that are
good, and it's helping us, but at the expense of some of these other departments that may not support their troops like Tinley Park does.
Like Chicago.
Well, that's we're benefiting from Chicago.
Yeah, that guy with all the medals on his shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his name? Tracy?
I don't know.
Stroke. Unbelievable.
But we get back to 100%, the village administration, everything. But the reason we're getting the transfers, and mainly from Chicago, is because of the lack of backing and their failed policies when it comes to policing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could be a Chicago police officer right now, starting with 30 years ahead of you. You're worried about losing everything, including your freedom, doing your job.
Yeah.
I worked in Cook County with a guy that was on the sheriff's police, and he left to go to CPD. When I asked him why, he said he was fifth generation. Mm. But now I'm wondering.
Fifth generation CPD?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, will there be a sixth?
Yeah.
Or will it end there? And that's a shame, because it was tradition for a lot of people. I know Jimmy Sherlock has a long history of
a great
generations
there
of CPD.
Is.
And, you know, his son, he has two sons on.
On the job, yeah.
One of them is hopefully going to be a Tinley Park police officer soon, because we want to get out of there. He's a young man. He's a good man, and we could really use him. And hopefully that will be soon. But they're generations of CPD. But it's time to bail. Until the pendulum swings back, I don't know why anybody would do it. I don't know that I want to do it, at this point. People sign up to serve and protect. They want to make a difference, and they face all these obstacles, including you're going to lose your home, you're going to lose your freedom, you're going to lose everything. It's not worth it. But what you were talking about before was some of the things, the less lethal, the use of force things. I showed you that diagram.
Oh, yeah.
So
they got a diagram for if you're going to hit the guy with a beanbag.
Well, but for years,
come on, we're not the,
Since I've been on, we've been looking for alternatives to lethal force.
Yeah.
So you come up with the beanbags, you come up with the taser and other things. Now, I showed you the diagram. They're making it so restrictive that you can't use the beanbag.
These guys are supposed to have this memorized when they're in a situation and they got to pull out the. Come on, it's ridiculous.
So basically, what they're forcing the officers to do. He's
just
use lethal force.
Lethal
force again. It's just, we're going backwards.
Yeah.
It's so restrictive that these officers don't know what to do. Now with the taser, we got to try to get the guy to turn so we can get him in the back.
Because turn around, please.
It's the only place you can hit him.
Yeah.
There's some good points to it.
Yeah.
We have the critical incident training. It's dealing with those with mental illness. Ever since they shut down all these mental health facilities, these individuals end up in jail or homeless, and we deal with them more and more.
Oh, yeah.
Every day I get something come across where we're dealing with people because of COVID. People are going nuts in their houses.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have last year at this time. It wasn't like that. This year we're dealing with it all the time. So the training is good, how to deal with these people, how
now,
to get them the
how
help
does
they
something
need.
Like that get called in? Hey, they got COVID-itis. They're flipping out or what?
You can tell with just the phone calls. So.
Yeah.
We had a lady today, I won't say her name or anything, but she told me in no uncertain terms that the police will no longer respond to her house because she said so and this and that. But the police were out there yesterday. She has put barbed wire in her bushes, razor wire, and all kinds of stuff all around. So if kids are going through, they're going to get severely hurt.
Oh, she's cracking up. Yeah.
Public Works went out, removed it all. I think she put it back. And then she was in her bathrobe breaking beer bottles in the street. But losing her mind. It's a shame in that regard. But anyway, I think the barbed wire is back, so we're going to have to remove that tomorrow. Another thing that we have to do, we have the duty to render aid and a duty to intervene. It's not the worst thing in the world. At George Floyd thing, I wasn't there, so I certainly will not comment on whether they're right or wrong. But I guess if you're sitting there for that long and the guy's not fighting, maybe you get off him, handcuff him, and put them in the car. I don't know. But that's the duty of the intervener.
They built a monument to that piece of crap.
I know they did, Mike. But all I'm saying is maybe they could have let them off and threw them in the car.
Okay.
I wasn't there, so I'm certainly not going to throw stones.
St. George.
But, you know, hopefully we're able to amend the act so that the law enforcement can effectively do their job, and we're continually working on it. And you and I were going to talk about 911.
Yeah. Oh, 9/11. It's the 20th anniversary.
20th.
Yes, it is. The 20th, yeah. Okay. 20 years.
I thought you said 40th. I can't hear.
Okay. Speaking of which, on September 11th, the Emerald Society is honoring me, yours truly, as the 2020 and 2021 Man of the Year, Irishman of the Year. Thank you. Please, no. We're having a big party at Gaelic Park. Come on by. It's going to be a lot of fun. And John Cass is the MC for that night. And Jimmy Clunan and friends are doing the music. It's going to be a great time. Okay, so that's my 9/11 story. I certainly remember. I was watching a thing on TV just last night on A&E. It's amazing. People forget. You know, it was 20 years ago, and they forget all about it, how crazy it was. And
I remember watching it on TV, and I said, I was watching with my wife, and I said, when that building collapsed, I said, there's firemen in there.
Yeah.
You know, I know it. And 300, and was it 73 or 43? It was terrible.
And, you know, there were firemen and policemen. Now, that's when people respected firemen and policemen. Now, forget it, you know.
But I had gone there for 8 days.
You went there right after it happened.
Well, we called, and their union said, could you wait, because everybody rushed the scene.
Sure.
So we waited 3 weeks. We went down there. We held the command post where it was. It's really something to see.
Yeah.
And while we were there, the one day I went down to Ground Zero, they were finally able to get some of the debris away. It was still about 30 stories high.
Yeah.
They pulled 17 firemen fully intact out of the stairwell. The stairwell held, but you couldn't see them because there's so many
firemen.
Yeah.
Oh,
they suffocated. It was.
Oh my God!
They were, you know, in their uniform, fully intact. Because anything else around there was just pulverized. It was just all powder. Desks, everything. Nothing survived it.
Yeah.
And where we were at the command post, they would bring these people in for closure. They'd come in. They'd bring them over on a ferry.
Oh, they come over and tell them we found
him.
And once
they come back, they knew nobody survived.
Yeah.
They came to terms that their family member wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
But that was where we were assigned. It was really something to be.
So you guys were the ones who would tell these people that, you know.
Pardon me?
You guys, your assignment was to tell people, well, we found them.
No, when they were taken over there and they seen the debris, they kind of know nobody's coming back. I mean, paper was pulverized. Beams that hold up your house were laying around like toothpicks. They had beams as high as this room here laying all around. Nobody survived.
Yeah.
And then when I was at Quantico on 911, we went to watch the Baltimore baseball game. And one of the firemen was a brother-in-law of one of the guys that I was palling around with. And they had him throw out the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Out of 13 people in his on his truck or company or whatever, he's the only survivor.
Wow.
So the other 12 were gone.
Yeah.
It was brutal. It was. I'm glad I had gone there, though. It was a great experience.
No, that was good to go. God bless them. God bless all their souls. Yeah. And it's 20 years since then. How quickly we forget, you know.
Look at the pendulum.
Yeah.
We were heroes. We're not anymore.
Oh, no. But that's going to change. Because of Hibernian Radio.
Yeah, there you go. One person at a time.
Yeah. Oh, it just makes you sick. All right, so let's stop this bill, or at least get the amendments. What would you suggest? That you contact their legislator? Or?
You have to contact them. Let them know. Because
the problem with me is my legislators are all commies. So it's like, what's the point? You know, it's... idiots like Don Harmon, and you know he's what I think Speaker of the House or something. What a moron he is! You know, you think what's the point of sending? I sent a letter to Durbin once about something, and they just, you know, they don't care.
When the whole police department leaves, there are 12 of them out of what, 20?
Yeah,
there's a problem.
Pat, I was just telling them about all those cops in River Forest walking out. Yeah, so it's tough times, but. God bless all the cops who are still with us, and you know they're doing the right thing. They're doing God's work. We know that. Now, how are we doing on time here? I would like to remind everybody that you were once the head of the vice department.
Correct.
For the Cook County Sheriff's Police. On a lighter note, and you told me some great stories last time you were on about our friend Billy Lean, mm-hmm. who's been on the show, and you guys were working on him. Billy was somehow somebody said he should be the receptionist at the massage parlor, which is a funny image right there. What happened there when Billy Lean was, you guys were busting a massage parlor?
We had gone in and taken everybody down, and then we put our girls in as undercover.
Yeah.
So Billy, how he ends up the receptionist, I don't know. He turns up the stereo. We can't hear anything. So finally, a guy comes walking in the door. We run in the back. We end up catching him. I end up in a closet. Yeah. Now, this closet was where all the old laundry was. I didn't want to touch
stank.
A thing. Oh, God. Yeah. I didn't want to touch a thing in there. Finally, once we were able to make the arrest, we run over, grab Billy, turn the music down, get him going. But you ought to ask Billy when he went to the massage parlor.
Ah, yeah.
Now, Billy's a little bigger than I am.
He's huge, yeah. And the demeanor of a junkyard dog.
We had a whole crew of guys in there to get a massage and try to get a prostitution deal. Billy's walking around with this towel they gave him. It looked like a dish rag. So ask him about that the next time you see him.
You also had a very funny story about Ollie McGarry, our old friend Ollie. One day at Skip's, you came and helped him out, and he had his truck there. Ollie was Marty McGarry's brother. All the McGarry's are from Ireland. They're all from County Mayo. Great family, great people.
John Kinane's mother had passed, and they had the luncheon at Skip's in the basement.
Oh, yeah, Skip's New Evergreen, yeah.
So when we had
shout out to Skip. So when Chicago police officer.
So when we had come up, Ollie was there. He decided not to go to work that day, and he had been at Skip's all day.
Yeah, sure.
I called my dad. My dad and my sister came up to get Ollie. We had a few more. We're driving home. Now, I knew Marty better than Ollie. I was at Ollie's house to watch a couple of fights or something, but I didn't know him that well at the time. So Ollie's leaning against the passenger side door looking at who is this man driving my truck. So I get near his house, but I'm not sure on the house. I said, Ollie, I know the area, but where do you live? And Ollie says, pull over, now we'll fight.
Get out and we'll fight.
I said, Ollie, I'm not fighting you. Where do you live? Well, you have a drink then. You'll have a drink. Okay, I'll have a drink. I pulled Ollie up his driveway and I ran down. My dad and my sister were waiting for me. I hopped in the car and we got out of there.
He's good company. He sends me stuff on Facebook every single day, just wacky stuff, Holly McGarry. One of the things that you mentioned back in December when you were on the show, and we were talking about this whole culture of defund the police, and you said, and I tend to agree, it started when Obama had the beer summit with his buddy Gates, mm-hmm. who was breaking into his own house. And the police said, what are you doing? And then they made a big racial thing out of that. That's when all this crap started.
The beer summit. Remember that?
The beer summit.
What happened was, this guy was trying to shoulder his way into the house.
Yeah.
And somebody called. So now it's a typical call. You go out there.
What are they supposed to do? Yeah.
You check on the guy. You get his ID. And once you realize that the person lived there, you say, okay. And you leave. And the person usually says, thank you.
Yes.
In this case, he turned it into a big ordeal.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Harvard professor, and the next thing, they're having a beer summit, and the president said the police acted stupidly. That was a common call.
The president said that. I remember that.
That was a normal call.
Yeah.
It happens every day.
Yeah. And now that idiot has a TV show about tracing your roots or something.
No, I don't know.
I turn it off whenever he comes on. Okay. Mount Carmel, class of 83. Oh, I know what I got to ask you. You know, remember PGOD?
Well, they, Dennis Hurler from the 40s and
50s. That's right. Yeah. He was Mike Sheehan's top man. And he was the guy, whenever there was a dignitary or a funeral, PJ would get the sheriff's car. And he said to say hi to you because he knew you were on the show. He listens every week. He's 95 years old. Hi, PJ.
Hey,
there's
PJ,
your shout-out.
The liaison. He was the liaison to the Irish community.
He had his cards that said, Irish-American liaison to Sheriff Mike Sheehan. What about John Rita from Internal Affairs? You had a funny story about his car.
Oh. John was in Internal Affairs, but he's one of those guys that was there that once he got out, no one, he didn't have that stigma. He was not out to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
We had a side, the guy had was working a side job way up north, but he took the squad car, which you're not supposed to do.
You told me this, yeah.
He got two flat tires. So he does the right thing. Instead, he calls a tow.
Yeah.
The car's towing him down Lakeshore Drive, and it comes loose from the tow truck. It spins around on
Lakeshore. This is a Cook County Sheriff's police car.
It spins around on Lakeshore Drive. It's upside down, and it's ended up where it blocked all three lanes of traffic. Yeah. So now his car's on the news.
And everybody's like, ah!
So now he's got to go see John, because John's in Internal Affairs, and John didn't even say a word. And before John could, the guy starts yelling, pretty funny, isn't he? He goes, hey, I just got to figure out what happened. But yeah, but the guy tried to do the right thing.
Yes.
The car got towed, the car came off the tow, and he was on the news.
The best laid plans of mice and men oft go awry. Now let's give a rundown at your daughter. Megan is here. Didn't your sons both play professional volleyball or something like that?
She was a state champ at Marion Catholic.
Oh, there she is, Meg. All right.
She works for 134 now.
Local 134? It's the electrician. Yeah. And what about the boys?
That's Bobby. Bobby just got here.
Oh, Bobby's here. Hey, what do you say? And he was a volleyball...
At Lewis.
But he also played professionally in where? Finland or something like that?
France.
Where? France?
Finland and France.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Which was better, Finland or France? In terms of, you know. Sorry, don't answer that, Bobby. Anyway, Matt, always great to have you on the show. And your entourage, God bless them all. We have to roll. Give me that bill number again. Well,
the original was 3653, House Bill.
The Police Reform Bill. Act. Get in touch with your legislators. Tell them you don't want that. It's anti-cop. There's too much of that crap going on as it is.
I'll come back with funny stories next time, but I wanted to get this out.
No, I'm glad you did. We got to take a stand, right? All right, we're going to take. Thank you. We salute you. Stay safe on the job, Chief Tinley Park, Chief of Police, Matt Walsh. God bless you, pal. Thanks again for coming.
Thanks, Mike.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, thanks for everybody for coming out tonight. We're having a great time here at Cork and Kerry. So glad to have you all here. I want to give a special shout out to Dave and Rhonda Pawelski. They sent me a check. And I encourage everybody to do that. That's a good thing. You know, we run a not-for-profit public charity, Hibernian Media, dedicated to Irish and Irish-American culture. We're telling stories to enlighten future generations while honoring our ancestors. And Dave and Rhonda obviously agree with this. They listen to the show. Out of the blue sent me a check, so I wanted to thank them. Also, a big plug to the Beverly Review and my old pal Bob Olszewski. Got a great story about our Emerald Society dinner coming up 9/11, a week from Saturday. So check that out. And now an old friend on the show, Detective Bill Donnelly. Billy, always great to have you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Huey.
What's shaking?
What's shaking? We're busy. We're full, going full tilt with the Knights of Columbus.
Father Perez.
People
I'm a
with
member.
Disabilities, right? You are.
Yeah, I'm a member.
Glad to have you.
On 111th Street.
That's
yeah.
right.
That's like a little clubhouse that you guys have there.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
They do a lot over there. You got the council side there that where we have our meetings. It's a two-storefront building.
It looks like a little pub, basically.
There's a lot more than that going on over
okay,
there.
I'm
you
sure
know
there
that
is,
now.
Yes, sure.
You know that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we were coming up on our big dates that, you know, our Super Bowl, if you will. For
oh, is it? Your,
the ID draw? This is the big one.
This is the intellectual disability drive.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And last year, even in COVID times, we were out there. We weren't sure how that was going to go.
You guys, you worked the stoplights and the streetlights.
Correct.
And yeah.
We
didn't shaking the can, basically.
Shaking the can.
Yeah. Everybody gets a Tootsie Roll.
That's right.
Yeah.
We just got the big load from the Tootsie Roll people this past week. So
we're do they donate those?
No, no. No.
Okay. Wishful thinking. Okay.
If you got a guy, let me know.
Yeah. Well, you might want to switch to Twizzlers or something like that.
Smarties.
Smarties, yes. All right, so, but now are you guys all over the South Side?
What's we are.
Yeah.
Of course, we'd be in the Mount Greenwood-Beverly
sure.
area,
which
we missed last year because we weren't allowed on Chicago's corners.
Because of COVID?
Because of COVID. There was none of the charities were being allowed out, whether it be Misericordia or whatever, you know.
Oh, they canceled Misericordia,
We were on pins and needles. We weren't sure how it was going to go.
Yeah.
But our people came out, our members, friends, and family.
Yeah.
And we staffed it as best we could. And you know what? The interaction with people was down. The number of transactions you'd have for, you know, give you a buck or whatever.
Yeah.
But the people who did put their window down were given
Five.
Three, four, five times the amount of money.
Oh, good for
them. And we were number one in the state last year with
honest
our
to God?
Donations.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of
number one in the state for what?
The donations of all the... Of all the councils.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So my point
so
is
all
that
the Knights of Columbus
this neighborhood is just
behind.
Fantastic. You know,
sure
I mean,
is.
It's everybody, from the members to the people who believe what we do here. And there's 13 of them, 13 charities that we donate this money to.
Oh, do you really?
From Mount Greenwood Special Rec to the Summit of Spread groups with Cadjetans and Fisher, different churches, Christina. And then you've got Covenant Enabling, and there's different groups like that. I could go on.
But, yeah.
And they, you know, the nice thing is about this thing, and it's a wonderful meeting that we just had about a month ago. When these people come in to get the check, we call it check night.
Yeah.
Because we have to go through our state council, and you know, the money's got to be filtered back. But
when they come and take get it. Yeah.
But this is one of those charities where the whole thing's going to them. There's not all this stuff being absorbed by administrative costs and everything like that. You know, that some of these places there's it's a very high cost to run some charities.
Oh, yeah.
This one is really is purely for people with disabilities. So we
What's
bring
the
them
name
in.
Of the organization? Is it one organization? Or
oh, no, there's a whole bunch. I mentioned Mount Greenwood Special Rec, Misericordia.
Okay.
But what it's else all we got? Covenant Enabling, a Good Shepherd out in Hazelcrest.
Okay.
There's several.
It's all intellectual disabilities.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it helps them operate. So I was getting to, when they come on check night, when we give these a representative of the group to come and get the checks that we split up, the people are getting up there telling us, you know, we wouldn't operate like we do on the level we do without your organization.
Oh,
and that then you're like, okay, this is all making sense to me now. This
is why
we do it. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And I appreciate those words. And
sure.
I think our group appreciates it. That now they're okay, good. Now there's a
you're
face to
a
these.
Difference.
You're seeing these people come in and they're like, they're telling you a couple of stories about how these kids are doing and stuff and adults. But
now when is it next weekend or is it going on now or what?
It's actually Friday, September 17th. And okay. Saturday, September 18th. So
just
what do we?
Weekend.
We got about what 2.5 weeks to go.
Yes. Okay.
That's why I say it's our crunch time. A load of candies come in. We're trying to staff our corners.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we could use a lot of help because a lot
you
of the
could
corners
use some volunteers.
Yes, we could.
Yeah.
Yes, we could.
And there's a site. There's a sign-up site.
There is.
I posted it on the email blast, but do you know the? Email
I do. Thank you for that.
Okay,
it's signupgenius.com.
Right. Okay.
And when they get in there, I was messing around on there today before the show, it's going to ask for the email of the creator.
Ah.
And when you do that, you're going to put my co-chair's email in there.
I thought you were going to say god.god.com.
The
creator, right?
I was anticipating that one.
Okay.
Brian Larkin's email.
Oh, I know. Love Brian.
You know Brian.
He's been on the show.
CFD Fire Captain.
Yeah. Shout out to Brian Larkin.
Is Larkin Brian... 20@yahoo.com.
And Larkin Brian, 20 at Yahoo. And when you go to the Sign Up Genius, you use his email address.
Right.
BrianLarkin20@gmail.com.
Thank you.
I think Brian won.
Not Gmail, Huli. It's LarkinBrian20@yahoo.
Oh, Yahoo.
Yahoo.com.
Okay.
Yep.
He won the cooker when we had the big party. I think he did. The raffle. Either him or his brother won the.
His brother Matt?
Yeah, he won the...
They've been on your show.
Yes, the big cooker that we had. So use his email when you're looking for it.
Yes, and then you can pick a corner in the time slot you want.
Wow.
So they come in about three-hour blocks on either Friday or Saturday.
And then you just show up, and you guys bring them the Tootsie Rolls? Or
no, they just show up in the corner. There'll be a corner captain that will equip them with what they need. It's all right there.
But you need people to do it,
that
right?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
17th and 18th of September.
Yes, it's a Friday.
All day, both days, right?
Right.
And how many people you got now? How many more do you need?
Well, we are, we could always use more people.
Yeah.
This is the third year Brian and I have done this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you walk in on pins and needles thinking, gosh, this thing's going to flop
works.
Because there's so many open corners. But yet, somehow, it just all comes together by the end.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate an opportunity like this.
And do you do just stop lights or does it stop signs?
You have to be 18. So
yes.
if there's a kid that's not 18 and the parents want to get them some hours for their school.
Sure.
You know, don't, you know, we can put them in different storefronts we have.
Oh, good.
We're doing Jewel at 115th and Kedzie, 103rd and Cicero for the Jewel. Binny's on 95th at Evergreen Park has been good to us. We put a table up there. And then when you get on the site, you'll see the different shops. There's an Oak Lawn. There's a few businesses along Cicero Avenue.
Okay. So the kids can do, they can man those.
Or people who just need to get off their bones and don't want to be out on the street corner anymore. Sure. You know, some of the older guys that we have and girls. But
pray for good weather, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be out there no matter what.
But I would imagine in bad weather you make more money. I don't know.
Maybe. You know. A sympathy bucket.
Yeah, the sympathy bucket. Very good.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'll let you know. You might even hear a bagpipe tune or two.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Sometimes somebody shows up and plays on a corner, and
I've
heard the donations go up when they hear the bagpipe.
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah.
The Father Perez Knights of Columbus, Tootsie Roll Drive for kids it's with intellectual with disabilities.
Yeah. People with disabilities drive. That's correct. The ID drive, if you will. Or as you said, the Tootsie Roll drive. A lot of people know it like that.
Yeah, good. Well, good luck with it. Get in touch by going to genius.com. Sign up. Help out. And, you know, the camaraderie and everything, I'm sure, is great. When you
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a fun day.
Yeah.
Sign up, genius.com.
And use Brian Larkin.Brian20.
At Yahoo.com.
At Yahoo.com. Okay. You'll find it if you look around on there, on that site.
You will. It's right as you sign on. Julie, I want to just take a break for a second here. And I heard you talking to Matt about Cy O'Donnell.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a member, a piper for...
One of the founding members of the Emerald Society. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he came in the 80s, and the band was started just around that time. And, you know, he was such a good guy.
Terrific guy.
He was very good to me, too.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't go to an event. You and I were talking just before we started.
He'd always remember us.
He would. And you couldn't get by him without getting a hello from that guy. And as being a new guy, you kind of appreciate that.
Yes. God bless him.
Nice family.
Yeah. Terrific.
He's going to be missed.
He will.
Even now, he comes to events, you know.
He
hadn't piped with us in a couple of years. But
he was at the Emerald Society Rib Fest. I saw
him
there.
He doesn't miss. He doesn't skip anything.
And he'd have his whole family with him and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific guy. Yeah. And you know what? I had just moved home to Chicago after 12 years in New York, and I'm running these events and just winging it. And they would show up, and he was always so congenial and you know, like, you're doing a good thing. And
right.
Just, you know, he had your back.
He certainly did.
Cy O'Donnell, God bless him.
He made me feel right at home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for mentioning him.
Oh, I appreciate you mentioning him.
All right, Billy Donnelly, thank you so much. Now, remember, everybody, it's signupgenius.com. Brian.
And Brian's email is LarkinBrian20, the number 20. At yahoo.com.
September 17th and 18th on street corners all over Mount Greenwood and
Beverly, Oak Lawn, Evergreen Park.
Terrific. And give big when they stop at your car.
And support any of the other councils that are going to be out there.
Sure.
They're
going to be all over Chicago,
that's right?
Yeah. Okay.
Knights of Columbus.
Yeah. Okay, pal. Thank you. God bless you. And
thanks,
see you next time. Thank you. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be back with the Obits and a Joke right after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halston in Chicago.
At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, As the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
And we are back on Hibernia. What a great audience tonight. Yeah, how about it? Oh, that Cork and Kerry, nothing like you, old Billy Gaddy and Mike Fitzpatrick, Cork and Kerry. Hey, I want to remind everybody, Saturday, a week from tonight, September 11th, it starts at 6, goes to 11. I don't know if I'll be able to stay up that late. The Emerald Society of Illinois, the Irish American Police Association, is inviting you to attend their 45th annual dinner and awards ceremony, honoring me, but also a lot of great police officers and with heroic awards. And also John Cass is the MC. He's on our side, formerly of the Tribune, and he has a very hot thing going now at johncassnews.com. So he'll be there. You can meet him. It's going to be a great time, and I hope you can all join us, and it goes to help the Emerald Society. Also want to remind everybody that coming up is the 7th Annual Irish American Movie Hooli, my film festival, September 24th, 25th, and 26th, over at the Gene Siskel Film Center. You'll be hearing a lot more about that as we get along. But we'll be having the world premiere of my film, In Search of Weeping Jim, on Friday night. And Saturday night, Colin Broderick's new film, A Bend in the River, which is terrific, starring John Duddy, former middleweight champion of Ireland. And then on Sunday is Endless Sunshine and a Cloudy Day, which is a terrific film about the toxic nature of social media. And it's just a great film. And also, don't forget, Return to Ireland with Hooli and Friends for our 7-day tour of Ireland, the 20th of October to the 27th. We're going to Galway for 3 nights. We're going to be in Westport for the Irish premiere of the film. And then we're going back to Dublin, the Fitzpatrick Castle. It's going to be a blast. You will never forget it the rest of your life. So please join us. Okay, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Ronk's, Hart's, any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, "Hey, Hooli, who died?" Okay, Jimmy. Ah, there's Jimmy Goff's theme song. And by the way, we're sponsored by Sheehy Funeral Home. Hey, I once again want to give our old pal Simon Buddy Cy O'Donnell, age 80. God rest his lovely soul. Beloved husband to Margaret for 56 years. Devoted father to Timmy O'Donnell, Colleen, and Kevin O'Donnell. Cy was a proud United States Air Force veteran. After military service, he proudly served his community for 31 years in the Chicago Police Department. He also worked for the Cook County Sheriff's Office for 10 years. He was a founding and acting member for 46 years and a former president of the Emerald Society. He was a bagpiper and founding member of the Pipes and Drums. He was also an active member of the Knights of Columbus, Council 12173. God rest his lovely soul, Cy O'Donnell. Tom Moran, 95, God bless him. A native of Bala, County Mayo, Ireland. Beloved husband of Nora for 59 years. Loving father of Maureen, Teresa, Eileen, Thomas, and the late infant son, Kevin. Dear brother of Mary, Ann, and Teresa, and the late Bridie, Kathleen, Margaret, Lena, and Patty. Fond uncle to many nieces and nephews, and friend to many. He's a proud member of Gaelic Park, the Mayo Association, and Local 399. God rest his soul, Tom Moran, 95. Also, please remember in your prayers, Mary Ann Hennigan, or Heenahan, a sister of Knights of Columbus, Oliver Plunkett and Bernie Plunkett, sister-in-law of Jimmy Curtin, aunt of John Plunkett. Mary Ann died suddenly, beloved wife of Martin Hennigan, loving mother of John and Kate, beautiful daughter of Kathleen and the late Thomas Plunkett. God rest her soul. In lieu of flowers, please spend, I love this, please spend special time with your loved ones and appreciate each other's presence. God bless her. Mary Ann Hennigan. Patrick McDonough, retired Chicago Fire Department beloved husband of the late Margaret, loving father of Thomas, the late Maureen, Patrick, Chicago Fire Department. He was the devoted son of the late Coleman and Mary of County Galway, Ireland, retired lieutenant, Chicago Fire Department, and member of the Brotherhood of the Barrel. God rest his lovely soul, Pat McDonough. John Haggerty, beloved husband of Maureen, and the loving son of the late Thomas and Julia Haggerty, fond brother of the late Michael, the late Mary, the late Julia. John was born in County Mayo, God help us. Served in the front lines in Korea, as PJ would say, a nasty war, shortly after entering the United States. Well, the guy comes to the United States, and the first thing they do is ship him off to Korea. God rest his soul, John Haggerty. So we can close up the crypt. And as we're heading into the home stretch, I think we have time for one joke, Billy? No? Oh, okay. Maybe more. We're not going to take a break, but let me... I don't know. Do we do? I can't remember. See, they gave me whiskey. I don't know. The final joke of the show. If not, we'll throw some music in. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Also, thanks to Rhonda and Dave for that check. Okay. I bet you never knew that. Hey, this is for you guys. Are you guys ready for this one? I bet you never knew that Adam and Eve were Irish. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were both stark naked. Adam looked at Eve and he said, oh, hair. Eve looked at Adam and said, oh, tool. Oh, tool and O'Hare. Irish. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Who's our guest next week? Maybe I should preview that. Let me just take a quick look. Next week is Brian Doyle, Chicago Police Department, retired. And then on the 15th, we got Jimmy Bailey. Maggie Murphy's coming up on the 29th. Hope to see you all out at Gaelic Park September 11th, and hope to see you all at the Irish American Movie Hooli September 24th, and hope to see you all in Ireland in October. God bless you all. Thank you, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Yes, I wondered. Oh, Lord, I wondered. Will I look down? I received the